You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The goal of business is to make a profit, but big corporations are feeling new pressures to do more. Yes, go ahead, make money, but also do good. In an op-ed for The Conversation, University of Michigan economist Marina Wittman describes this new ethic that is spurred by investors, and she's joining us now. Always good to see you, Marina.
Hi, Cynthia. Really nice to see you again.
So you are a professor of business administration and public policy at U of M, but you once worked in the corporate world for General Motors when times were tough for domestic car makers. In the middle of economic hard times, what did you suggest GM's leadership do?
Well, I made a lot of suggestions to GM's leadership, most of which they didn't take because I said, essentially, this company is going to have to make huge changes or it's going to go down the skids. And yes, indeed, it did. I didn't anticipate how badly. I had charge of a group of staffs called the public affairs staffs, and I had no responsibilities for which plants got shut or when or whatever. I did at least convince the top management to lessen the pain a bit by, instead of just cutting off all United Way contributions by the company when they closed a plant, which is what they would usually have done because what they contributed depended on the number of employees, I persuaded them to sort of cut it down over a number of years because, of course, that was just one more terrible shock when they needed that money more than ever.
So be a good corporate citizen even if you're going through rough times.
That was the message. Mm-hmm. Although, as I say, these were little incremental things that could be done because those were really rough times.
But why was that important to do some kind of gesture?
Well, it may have attenuated a little bit the bitterness of the people who were dislocated, although I don't know how much. Or maybe it was just that the people who made these decisions, and these were very difficult times, could look themselves in the face a little better. I don't really know.
Well, in fact, let me ask you this. The idea of a company doing good, it's faded in and out of fashion. Mm-hmm. After World War II, big corporations were prodded into doing public good. Who was doing the prodding?
Well, they, to some extent, prodded themselves. They saw themselves as public statesmen. They set up something called the Committee for Economic Development, which got involved in economic issues of interest to the nation. And part of the reason that the so-called good corporation in those days was because, quite frankly, they didn't face a lot of competition, and therefore they could earn high profits. The rest of the world in the decades right after World War II was in no position to give U.S. competition a run for its money because Europe and Japan were recovering from World War II, and the so-called developing nations or emerging markets weren't yet sufficiently developed or emerged enough to pose competition. And domestically, American companies were very concentrated, which means less competition. So they could afford to make good profits, reward their stockholders, give their employees secure lifetime employment and good pensions, do things for their communities. They could satisfy all these so-called stakeholders.
And then, as you note in your piece for The Conversation, in the 1970s, economist Milton Friedman insisted a corporation's only obligation was to maximize profits for the shareholder, which contributed to that greed is good era, and spelled the end of the good company. In fact, was there not an obituary for the good company in Newsweek?
Yes, there was. Still is. A very good reporter called Bob Samuelson, who wrote an RIP, Rest in Peace, the Good Corporation. And frankly, I don't think it was Milton Friedman's announcement, although that did have a good deal of impact in the academic world. It was more that nice, comfortable world that American companies had been operating in began to come apart. Yeah. Other countries became serious competitors. There were the two oil shocks. There was the disruptions in the international exchange rate system, motivated actually by the United States, because we had gotten ourselves into an impossible position. So it was really that companies couldn't count anymore on relatively little composition, high, steady profits, and so forth.
So business schools kind of, you know, that idea of your job is to maximize shareholder profits. Business schools taught that ethic for a long time, but that has been changing.
It's been changing. Why? And if, you know, I have an appointment, or did, I'm emerita now, but I did have an appointment in both the business school and the public policy school. And it was very interesting to watch Michigan's business school put more and more emphasis on the social aspects of business.
What drove that?
Well, two things. One, there was, again, more concentration in U.S. industry, and therefore more what economists called economic rents, what normal people would call high profits. So companies were once and again in a position to do good. And let's face it, I'm no Milton Friedman, but if a company doesn't make money, it soon will go out of business. So that's one requirement. The other thing is that both the media and the public in general were starting to put more and more emphasis on things like, one, the environment. Whoever heard of the environment in the 1960s? And also on what was a totally new idea when Nike was confronted by it in the 70s, was that companies should have some responsibility for the treatment of workers in other countries by their suppliers. The suppliers were not part of their company. They were independent companies. And the notion that an American firm should have responsibility for the behavior of a company that was independent was just mind-blowing. But eventually Nike came around, yeah, and now a lot of companies are taking their responsibility. And now the arguments are more about, well, are they monitoring it independently, mm-hmm, and are they monitoring it well enough?
But it's on the radar screen.
But it is definitely, yes, on the radar screen.
And as we see in your piece for The Conversation, big investors are the ones telling the corporate world profit's not enough. If you want access to our billions, you better be a company that also does good. So why do these large investment firms care?
Well, it's interesting because companies are caught in a real tension. As you say, the CEO of the biggest investment company in the world, BlackRock, sent out a letter to the chief executives of the 500 largest companies saying, if you want to keep our investment or get our investment, you'd better be thinking about not just making profits, mm-hmm, but also doing socially useful things. On the other hand, many other great big investors who are saying to CEOs, if you want to keep your job, you'd better get those profits in the next quarter or the next year up, or keep them up, or you'll lose your job. And a lot of CEOs did lose their jobs when their shares tanked for one reason or another. So you've got the tension between these two opposing groups.
Two tunes they have to dance to.
Exactly. All at the same time. Exactly.
When we talk about things companies do that are socially aware or try to make the world a better place, what are some things that companies have done that fit that bill?
Well, one of the big ones, as I say, mm-hmm, was taking some responsibility, and there's an argument about how much, for the treatment of, mm-hmm, workers in their supplier companies in other countries. Another one, of course, is more and more companies are paying some attention to their environmental impact and are doing whatever they can to reduce that. Sometimes that works to their favor in the sense that it is also cost-reducing, but not always. And more companies are being pushed to take responsibility for their CO2 emissions, mm-hmm, and many of them have set goals on reducing those emissions and, in general, are paying much more attention to their environmental footprint, so to speak.
Now, you argue in your piece that companies that are doing very well financially and will be benefiting from the windfall from the Trump tax cut should,
right,
look to bringing that good corporation back from the dead. How likely is that to happen?
Well, as I say, yeah, there are now some small green shoots. They're still, you know, not up to summer height.
They haven't blossomed yet.
They haven't blossomed yet, but they're definitely there. And companies are having to somehow resolve this tension that I just mentioned, mm-hmm, between some powerful investors who are focused only on short-term profitability and stock prices because they all want an exit strategy. And those like Mr. Fink of BlackRock. And also, of course, customers and employees are also putting pressure because the American public in general has become much more conscious of the widespread impact of companies on their stakeholders, of which their shareholders are one, but there are others, employees, communities, customers, and so forth. So they are confronting this tension. Now, to some extent, it's true that the companies that are getting the pressure for short-term profits are ones that are having significant problems. And what's astounding is the CEOs with well-known names that lost their jobs in the last year or two because some of these big, powerful investors were not satisfied.
It's an interesting story, which you can find at theconversation.com. Corporate America needs to get back to thinking about more than just profits. Marina Wittman, Professor Emerita of Business Administration and Public Policy at the University of Michigan. That's an interesting piece. We want to thank you so much for being with us to share it.
Thank you, Cynthia, for giving me that opportunity.